Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
I'm here with my mother, Jean, on an episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? Because in the episode I did where I got to interview you when we were in Oswego, people really like that. They like your knowledge. And I haven't been on the road that much lately, so I can't really analyze bomb jokes because I haven't been doing them. Although some have bombed here in Los Angeles. And when you came out, those were good though. They went well.
They did. The one audience was a little tougher than the other.
Yeah. But it still worked out. I mean, the song still needs work, but you helped me with that. Okay. Why do you think a joke bombs? My mom has seen me now since high school, I guess, at the Old World Bakery when I do stand up.
I never saw that. It was too late.
The Renaissance Festival?
Yes. Yeah, since the Renaissance
Festival. Yeah, I was a heckler at a Renaissance Fair. What do you remember about that?
Well, maybe not what you remember.
Okay. I like your perspective.
Because I remember you were supposed to be in those, put your hands through the holes and your head through the hole, but you didn't. You moved out because you wanted to be with the audience. You wanted to work with them. You wanted to be able to make eye contact with them. And the idea was that you were to insult them so much that they'd buy tomatoes and throw them at you, and that's how you made your money. But you felt you could do a better job if you went to them. Even though your manager said don't do it, you still did it because you got more money.
And I could tell he was stealing.
Was that Boob?
Boob.
Oh.
There would be days that we would just kill it and I'd make the same and I was on percentage, so I knew he was full of shit.
So you did what you wanted to
do. I did what I had to do. And a lot of times, have you ever seen me let people slap me in the face?
Oh, and the little kids, you'd gather all around, and then they'd convince their parents to buy tomatoes to throw at you. You did things like that.
It was hustling.
Yes, yes.
That was fun. From all the stand-up you've seen now, because you never really watched a lot of stand-up before me, I don't think. Did you?
No, I didn't.
When you've seen me bomb, like, horribly sometimes. What do you think makes a joke bomb? Why do you think a comedian will connect to a crowd sometimes and other times they don't?
Well, that's it right there. It's the connection. And you don't know. Even though you've done the jokes before, you walk out onto that stage not knowing who is in the audience. You don't know if they're going to laugh.
Right.
You have no idea. It's new every single time you go out, even though you may have done the joke before. So I see that's why a joke might bomb. Another reason it might bomb is you haven't really thought it through. You might be testing it out on them.
Yeah.
And you're going to tweak it. But otherwise, I think it's the audience. You just don't know. You know, well, I'll bring up Whiplash because
That's one of my things. Because I want you to talk about Whiplash as a teacher.
Well, I'll talk about it as far as bombing. Remember at the end, when Terrence Fletcher is going to take down the drummer because he's got issues with
him. Oh, well, we kind of, that could ruin the movie for people.
Well, I'll just say one more thing.
Okay.
So they'll be able to see it and still enjoy it. They're playing in a small jazz setting.
Yeah.
And he didn't give them the music that they were playing. And so he didn't know.
Spoiler alert, all plot points.
Well, that's what happens with you.
Right.
That's the point. My point is that's what happens with you. Sometimes you don't know who's out there.
Right. Like, for example, when I opened for Julio Iglesias and I didn't realize the crowd didn't speak English.
Yeah.
Like, that's a major.
That
I didn't get the
major.
Sheet. I didn't get the sheet music
that's
that time.
That's right.
Okay. I was.
Yes.
Do you remember any, like, major mistakes I've made over the years as far as comedy? Like, when you'd see me live and it wouldn't go well. What do you think?
Well, I think it was mainly in the beginning. Before you came out here, because I didn't watch your progression out here because I wasn't here. But when you were at Plattsburgh and Potsdam, in Oswego maybe doing a couple, but I didn't see the open mic, you had a different style and you kept pacing. And then you'd tell a story, and it would go on too long before the punchline. And then you'd keep pacing.
I was nervous.
And, well, you can be nervous, but that took away from the content.
It's kind of, it's like kinetic energy. It's like if a rocket, if the energy goes like this, the rocket doesn't go anywhere. But if it goes like this, the rocket blasts off. And I wasn't focusing.
Yes.
By the way, look at how tall we are. Like, we're all knees. 6'7", 6 feet. We're a lot of human.
2 feet one.
Yeah, we got some tiny ones. Hey, little doggies. Look at Sophie. Hey, Sophie, look at the camera from the other way. She's such a good girl. Okay, getting me into piano. You were a part of that. What was the story? It was a dad's rehearsal.
Right, for one of the operas. And the rehearsal was over, and Jim Sillery had gathered everybody around and to talk to them about the rehearsal. And he spoke up and said, "Who's ever got that CD on, turn it off."
Or tape, probably, at the time.
Tape.
Because it was the 80s.
Because you were 4 years old, so it would have been the tape, huh?
Tape.
1984. It was into 85. You were about 4 and a half. And it turned out to be you playing the Mozart that you had heard in rehearsal. And everybody's jaw dropped because you had never had a lesson and nobody knew.
But you got me, this is what I wanted to get to that I really enjoy, is my teacher, Lucinda, who's a genius.
Yes.
So let's talk about Lucinda. Why did you guys choose Lucinda?
It took 3 years to find her. Because we knew you needed a special piano teacher, and in Oswego, that's a little difficult.
Right.
Because they would have made you do scales. They would have made you learn every note that was on the page in front of you. And obviously, from that session at the rehearsal, you needed a special kind of teacher who would understand what you already knew and how you learned. So you were... You were seven before we found her, and we found her through a friend of mine I was talking to who had four children, and hers were older, and she was...
But we got to get to what makes it funny. Not funny, but like, so she's teaching me...
Oh, I thought you wanted the story of how I found her.
Well, yeah, so she's a very open-minded person, and she's not making me... She's not making me read music... Because, which is awesome because I learn by ear. I listen to a lot of audiobooks. Because, we got to talk about books too. We got to just keep motoring.
Okay. Because
we have so much to talk about. We haven't talked about you yet.
She learned exactly the way you did, and she was over the moon.
She could play any song.
You.
And she could play any song. If I liked Skid Row at the time, and I'm like Youth Gone Wild or 18 in Life, and she would just listen to it and play it. And I remember being like, that's amazing. And someone that open minded, you guessed it, was transgendered.
Correct.
She became a male on Halloween. She dressed as a man, and then Halloween never ended.
Correct.
November came in, Thanksgiving kicked in. I was like, isn't Halloween over? And it never ended. So Lucinda became Larry.
Yes.
And is very happy as the male gender.
Yes, yes.
This
For
is
him,
in.
He made the right decision.
And this is before it hit out. This is the thing I wanted to talk about with you is.
This was about 1990.
1990, yeah. It was like, okay, so, 92. And you were very open about it. Like, my parents, my mom, my dad, very non-judgmental people. In fact, I used to have a problem with L.A. 10 years ago. Now I don't. Now I love L.A. But I felt like you guys were so ahead of the curve, and they thought they were so awesome.
Oh.
What year did you start doing yoga? 70? 1970?
Before that.
60s? In the 60s.
Yeah.
All this stuff that you see at Whole Foods now, my mom was getting through a co-op. And bear in mind, we have no money. We're below the poverty line, technically, because college professors make very little money. Now dad's doing fine.
Yes.
But, so my mom put in so much effort to grow our food or get... You know, organic yogurt, organic molasses, organic
yogurt. Own yogurt.
Yeah, like she's from a farm. Her dad was a lead miner. Long story. But, and so then out here, and everyone makes it seem like they're so like revolutionary.
They invented
not hating gay people. They invented yoga. I'm like, that was my childhood from a little town with nuclear power. So, but now LA's kind of grown into it. So now I like it. Don't you love LA? My mom's in LA right now for a week. And everywhere we go, she's like, this is what I've always wanted. Yeah. Like, we're walking through Whole Foods and she's like, they're just almonds. There's no chemicals. There's bone marrow. It's a grass-fed cow. Like, she's just in heaven. And it took years. And she'll just start talking to strangers, and they're interesting. Like, remember the nice lawyer from Israel that we met?
Yes, yes. With his dog.
Yeah. My mom will just talk to anybody, and she's like, I need this at home, and I don't always have it. But so anyway, Lucinda became Larry, and this is the thing I wanted to talk. I remember you were telling me the story that when Larry told you why she wanted to be a man, she would identify with the groom. She was like, I would go to a wedding and I wouldn't want to be the bride on the cake. I'd want to be the groom. And your answer was?
Well, so did the rest of us, because that we all knew where the power was.
Right.
And that's why we wanted to be the groom too, but we wouldn't, you know, we didn't want a transgender. But especially my friend Amy and I, we said, well, yeah, but that doesn't mean we're going to transgender. we knew where the power lay.
Yeah, and then I kept asking you questions about that. In your town, women weren't allowed to learn how to swim.
Yes, girls were not could not learn how to swim.
That's a whole different ball game.
It is.
I think you were also a little ahead of the curve on women's rights. Well, not, I mean, there was Susan B. Anthony and all, you know, suffrage and all that.
It wasn't that kind of rights. It was, my mother was one of seven girls and two boys back further. You know, we're talking the 40s and the 50s here, and those women were, they were strong women. Of course, they were 100% German, but they were really something. But they deferred to the men in matters outside in society, but when they all got together, they had the power.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize, and they went to Catholic churches, but then when I started my PhD program, I didn't realize this, that I studied a lot of paganism and Wicca. And I did not realize I had been a pagan all along, because so would they, although they went to a Catholic church. So it's
well,
that
I remember
kind
the
of thing.
I remember someone in your family, our family, but it's so extended I didn't get to see him so much that I would say yours. But someone said, I remember the quote, it was like, I was like, you don't believe in God? And they're like, no, I'm Catholic. We don't have to believe in God. I can't remember who said it, but it's like basically like you put money in the basket. And it's true, the Catholics are, and then Dad's side was, we found out later it was part Jewish, didn't
yes.
know, but it was just cultural. And then there was it was Catholic and Jewish pretty
Irish.
Much. Irish.
Irish and Jewish, that was it.
And both of those groups of people, it's more about culture than it is the, Protestants seem to be very, I mean, I personally, I'm not atheist at all because I've been in airplane turbulence. But, I feel like Catholics and Jewish people, it's more about the culture and the traditions than it is your connection to God. Like the Baptists, it's like you and Jesus walking down the street.
Oh,
and Catholics are more like, Catholics and Jews are more like traditional. They believe in God for the most part, but it's not really, because rabbis, I feel like rabbis, they're the least like angry. They're like, well, what do you think? It's like, well, what do you think? It's all a question. It's like rhetoric.
I was a teenager before I realized there was a Bible. I mean, that's a little extreme, because, you know, the Gospels are based, you know, from the Bible. But my friends who went to the Primitive Methodist Church and the Baptist Church in my small town had to learn Bible verses that I didn't realize were there until they practiced on me. They'd say, okay, see how many of these I've memorized correctly. So I'd hold up the book and I'd follow along with, I said, where is this from? And it might be from the Old Testament. And I said, what's the Old Testament? I've been a Catholic all my life. We didn't have to learn this.
Right.
We could be Catholics and never read the Bible.
I think that's why they would do it in Latin, because they wanted you to not know. And okay, this is another story. So my mom, when I'm 9 years old, long story short, I get shot in the eye with a BB gun. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little chubby kid. I know you don't like when I say that I was fat, but I hadn't grown into my height yet. It was
correct.
Nothing that you were feeding me.
Because you weren't getting...
No, I was eating proper food, but I was awkward.
And didn't maybe do much exercise. You
right.
played soccer. But...
And I was a paper boy. And we used
yes.
to garbage... I used to jump in garbage bins and collect cans.
Yes.
We had a good work ethic.
Yes.
Okay. So... I get shot in the eye with a BB gun. My mom left me for maybe 5 minutes to get my other brother, who was down the street. And I saw blood streaming down my face. And what did the cop say to you?
Where were you? You left your child alone.
What I remember that set you on your path was, where was the mother?
Not oh, yes.
where were the parents?
Oh, because I asked him. I said, well, I was down getting my other son. And he said, you were supposed to be here. And I said, but... You haven't asked me where his father was. And he said, that doesn't matter. Where were you? You're the mother.
Right. And so that kind of sent
and
my mom.
And I was blamed.
Right.
I was blamed for you.
Yeah. And that was.
Because I left you alone to go get your other brother.
And it wasn't where's the father or where's the parents.
Never.
It's where was the mother.
Yes.
And you were right. You quit your job to raise us. My mom was a professor and she quit. To be a mom because the genetic or the instinctual draw was so strong. And that's why I do jokes about this, is I always felt that the real fire behind a lot of feminism is people like that cop, where it's like you're obligated to do something or you're not allowed to do something. Because a lot of women do just want to be moms. And I say just, even though it's the most important job in the world, it's the same with cops and teachers. It's like everyone's like, oh, if it doesn't work out in Hollywood, I'll just be a cop or just a teacher. It's like, oh, protect and shape the young. Like that's a little bit more important than playing make-believe, you know? And I think moms are so important, but it's like a lot of times women will feel this anger and rage because someone says they have to do that.
Well, and there's a law in the books that says your child has to be 12 before he can be left alone. You were 10. I left you for 5 minutes. You had a babysitter twice in your life. And you get shot and come home. And I'm to blame. I was almost taken to court over
you,
that.
You weren't to blame. It was the person who shot me in the face.
But you see...
I totally.
That, yeah.
So that's when... We were never very religious, but we were, I guess, characterized as Catholic.
Yeah.
Not really, though. But that's when my mom went down this path, because she started asking herself, like, where are the women in the Bible, you know? And this is before Dan Brown. You're ahead of your
yeah.
time, too. Before Da Vinci Code, she was asking this shit. So we ended up going Presbyterian, Lutheran. And it's so
yeah,
funny. It's almost
right.
like you were making me a comedian, because... It's the same thing. It's just slightly,
yes.
it was just little
yes.
tiny differences. And everyone's like, well, you don't say for thou is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. So it's different.
Oh, that's very good.
Well, yeah, I have a good auditory. And it's like, so that makes it all different. I'm like, how's that really that much different? It's the same shit. What basket do I put the money in? So then we ended up doing a retreat with all the women singing and dancing about the moon goddess.
Yes. Oh, that was in my PhD program. Yes.
Yeah. Because she wrote a book called Called to Healing, and it's a woman's reconnection with the earth and spirituality.
Through novels. I analyzed some novels written by women with women characters. Yes.
Yeah, and it's a full circle journey, because then she got back to Joseph Campbell and the power of myth, and like the Narnia series. She's a children's literature professor, and a lot of them are Christian. So you start seeing that it's not about Christian or Wicca. It's about open-minded and non-open-minded when it comes to gender, like Lucinda Larry.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've always admired about you is that you're not angry at Christians. You don't think they're bad. I never liked that when people are like, oh, they're stupid. It's like, no, they're not. They're just, they're everyone reaches their point, you know, on their own.
Right.
And I think you right. wanted to stop doing this and start doing this and looking at, because you love to grow your garden and you're like, earth comes from the soil. And then the sun is more like the male figure, because the sun rays are like jizz, or it's like it fertilizes the egg. No, this is what I'm thinking. The sun rays are jizz coming at the egg, and the egg is the earth. And so, you know, it kind of bails for 12 hours, and then more jizz, and then it bails. And then the earth grows it, and without the sun shooting down jizz and protecting the earth, because the sun has the gravity and keeps the comets flying away from it, like basically the sun is this alpha male, which is jizz and gravitational protection, and the earth grows it. So I guess that doesn't make a ton of sense, but it kind of does to me. Okay. You were tall and left-handed. How do you think that shaped your personality? And how do you feel about the fact that women want to be tall now because of models? Yeah, women a lot of times are like, I'm 5'2", but I want to be 5'10 because of models and stuff. And you hated your height.
Well, I didn't hate it because my mother was tall. You know, from the seven sisters, she was the tallest, and they actually go down to about 5'2". But, and they're all in between, 5'5", 5'7", you know. And my dad was tall, so I was around tallness, and then my brother was tall. I was around tallness enough in my household that when I went to school, a very small town, population 837.
The joke was they changed the sign when you left. Well, when she left, it was 836.
There was another joke that they didn't have to change the sign because every time a baby was born, a man left town.
That's hilarious.
It wasn't a problem for me, but then I grew fast. I went from 5'7" to 6 feet in a year.
But the nuns didn't like the left-handedness.
Oh, I didn't have nuns.
Dad had the nuns.
Yeah. No, in fact, I was taught to write by a left-handed teacher in third grade.
Oh, that's cool.
So there again, so I write like this instead of like this. Cool. You know, many left-handers go like this. Mrs. Lusho, I remember, and she was left-handed, and so she showed me how to write correctly. So that the left-handedness didn't bother me much, except the world is built for right-handed people. So that wasn't so bad, but that I was... So before I was 16, I was 6 feet tall, and in a small town, that just doesn't go over very well. And I was, not now, I'm not very, very thin, but I was so thin. And I used
to be... You're thin, Mom. You're in great shape.
No, I used to be made...
My mom can do, what's that called? Was Elena have you do? She can do a plank for 45 seconds.
Yeah, it's because of Elena.
Yeah, she's in phenomenal shape.
She wouldn't let
and she blames
me.
And she blames her little belly on the fact that I was basically an 11-pound baby, and my brother was over 10 pounds.
Well, you were 10'9", yes.
10'9", I'll round that up to 11, and most of it was wiener. Most of it was wean and balls. Okay,
But with the height, the only males that were my height was my brother. And so I didn't have a social life, but I didn't need a social life.
Because small guys are intimidated by tall women.
And they were small.
Really small.
So I read a lot because, you know, we didn't have television until I was a freshman in high school because it hadn't been invented. And so I read, and I also knew that because of my circumstances, I might never marry. So I had to be on a very focused path to find something to do that I could support myself for my life, for my lifetime. And so it bothered me about not dating like the others did, but all they did was drink and Benton. I mean, there wasn't even a theater. We didn't do, it wasn't much to do. So I would read, and then we had television, you know, and we watched the three channels for a couple of hours. But it got to be a problem, you know, as I got older and people would point to me. But they used to make fun of me because they'd say, you look the same from the front as you do from the back. So they said, what gender are you? So maybe that's how I understood gender early on, because they didn't know if I was a boy or a girl.
Right.
Because I was...
You were very
flat.
Pretty, Mom. They were being aggressive.
Flat.
They were being aggressive blood minors.
They could have been, but also...
Her dad, a lot of the men were minors.
Yes.
And they were drunk, and they were sad.
They were.
And they fought. Your dad punched a priest.
Yes.
So we're from a very aggressive family, and this is, you're not one to brag, but I will do some bragging for you. A lot of people talk about breaking cycles, and my family is full of alcoholism and rage, like violence. And my mom and my dad both don't drink and didn't hit us. And I'm very thankful for that, because I do think that you know, we take our rage out in other ways, spirited debate, and Jason and I fist fight, but,
spirited debates.
But yeah, I think that that's really important to actually do that, to break this cycle. And I think that, cause your parents are both very smart, but their rage and their addictions kind of, well, not your mom didn't drink, but
no,
you know, the rage and the addictions and the, you know, kept them down.
And the economics. They were both from very poor families.
Dirt floors, right?
Well, no, not quite. But very poor. No, no running water, no electricity.
Right.
Well, and the outhouse, I can tell you about the outhouse if you ever want to know about that. Yeah, both sets of grandparents. And, you know, to raise 11 kids in a house, well, there were 11, two died.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize how bad the Germans had it. Because of World War One.
Yes.
I mean, everyone blamed, like, I mean, obviously Hitler was a horrible PR move for the Germans, but World War One, they kind of just started invading people. That's when the Germans, but our families were way out of Europe by then.
Yes, end of the 1800s.
Yeah, I mean, the Germans used to be seen as, like, pretty cool, and then they started making some horrible decisions.
Yes, yes. So, just, they had to do what they had to do, and they couldn't use their intelligence no matter what it was. And then, you know, with World War II, that's when the middle class came into some kind of power.
Right.
But they, you know, my grandfather, my mother's father, hauled coal for a living. He wasn't a miner, but he hauled the coal for the people. He had 11 kids to feed, 3 bedrooms in the house, an outhouse, no running water. Can you imagine doing diapers? Anyway, okay, so... and my grandmother was a midwife through all of that, but she didn't get paid.
Wicca.
I know.
That's closet Wicca in a Catholic world.
Yes.
Midwives, because the women had the power.
Yes. Yes.
And so what is your... How much time are we at? Because I can only... Oh, yeah. We got to wrap things up soon.
Okay.
What is your advice? You're still a professor. What is your advice to young people as far as work ethic? Because I know that you have an issue sometimes with how little they try compared to...
Because
you raised us to try our ass off. Remember when I used to go door to door getting people to subscribe to my newspaper?
Yes,
And like garbage picking?
Yes.
And you see me here now, like, just work. Like, you raised us to work like animals.
And you could work at 15 with a work permit. So I pushed Jason out the door and he went to the Renaissance Fair and got a job, you know, through Mary Jean Walker. To work at the Renaissance Fair every summer.
So,
you had to work.
What's your advice to young people? And I gotta go, or else I'll hit my time limit on YouTube.
Okay. Well, I will say I don't have any advice for them because I don't understand them. Their heads are always in their cell phones, and I can give them assignments that aren't difficult that I've been giving for years, for decades, on writing papers, and I get these papers in, and I say, what have they been learning? How did they get into college? They can't even write simple sentences, stringing one together after another. They don't know how to take something and write a paper with unity and clarity. I mean, I am not asking for the great American novel in my classes.
You have some that are good, and you think those are the ones that are going to take off.
They are. Otherwise, I think these kids are gone already. And then after seeing Whiplash the other night, I'm gonna say something. I'm not gonna say much when we get back from spring break, but the
they
papers
watch
are
Whiplash.
Not good. And instead, and they're gonna be really pissed because most of the grades. Most of the grades are really low.
The funniest thing is sometimes you won't fail people because you don't want them to take it again.
Correct.
Like,
they have
like,
to take it from me.
She'll be like, I'm not gonna fail this person because I don't want to have to deal with their shit. And you're a fair grader. Like you, if someone tries, she'll hook it up.
Oh, I'll give them at least a C, but they're not even getting that. So I'm going to go in and write on the board, watch Whiplash, and then I'll have their papers, and I'll hand them, before I hand them back, I'm going to say, The only comment I have for you and your papers is what I've got written on the board. Watch Whiplash.
Watch Whiplash, guys. Because you got to really push yourself for stuff.
Yes.
Germans, Irish, Czech Jews. Yeah, Jews, Germans, and Irish. And according to 23andMe, I'm Scandinavian. Did not know that, but it's there. Later.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.